an act of bad faith. That's how the Finance Minister, Conor Murphy, has described the financial package offered by Westminster to support the Stormont deal. £1 billion of new money is on the table. Another billion is expected to be added as an automatic result of spending plans for the entire UK. Now, last night in a series of tweets, the Secretary of State, Julian Smith, said, "Let's remember MLAs have been off work for 3 years at a cost of over 15 million in salaries. There will be a new deal for Northern Ireland as it leaves the EU. There will also be a budget in the spring. £2 billion is the biggest ever NI talk settlement, and it addresses a number of key issues. Let's get on with it." He then also tweeted that parties need to sort out their priorities. Let's speak to our political editor, Mark Devenport. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Vinny. You missed out the most important bit of the tweet, didn't you, there? He accused Stephen Nolan of going soft.
Well, do you know what? Every time you mention that man's name on the air, he gets 50 quid.
So
I try and avoid that.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
I'm telling you, he's rubbing his hands together somewhere in Santa Monica.
Has he got some kind of copyright deal on it?
He does. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. He can't do any T-shirts with his face or his name on it. Otherwise, he'll get a whole load of money. So is this bad faith, Mark? What do you reckon?
Well, it certainly is a big spat of an unusual kind between the UK government and the new Northern Ireland executive. And putting this in context, I mean, we had all those pictures of people smiling together on the steps of Stormont Castle and in the Great Hall just on Tuesday. And I thought, well, I'd give the honeymoon, you know, a couple of months or something. Well, the honeymoon has come to a rather crashing end because Conor Murphy, on behalf of the Stormont executive, is saying that not only is the money not enough, but he's accusing the UK government of bad faith by going ahead and publishing this deal, because clearly he and some of the other ministers hoped that there would be wriggle room, that they'd be able to head over to London, hold further negotiations, put their case to the Treasury and secure more money. But instead, a little bit like that deal when it was put forward first of all by Julian Smith and Simon Coveney, it seems to be slapped down on a here you have it, take it or leave it.
Speaking of slaps, that tweet, it does seem like a bit of a public slap in the face to the politicians. You know, the deal is done. You've gone back in. The executive is back up and running. You've got your money. You were off for 3 years. Take it or leave it. Get on with it.
Yes, I mean, he is reacting in a way which I think previous Northern Ireland secretaries didn't react. They tended to just kind of soak it up a little bit when they took some abuse from the local politicians. Instead, I think he's of a mind that, well, you've gone back now into power. Are you going to walk away from Stormont at this particular point, given that the public is expecting you to get on with it? And it's interesting because quite often when we look at a package, it's viewed as a series of absolute commitments that all these aspects will be, you know, not only delivered on but paid for. And whilst he was saying in the negotiations we'll provide the resources, he is saying in that tweet to local politicians, sort out your priorities, as if it's more of a wish list than a complete package that has to be implemented, and that it's maybe up to them to decide where they want to actually put the cash to prioritise delivery in the first place.
It was like a Trump-like tweet, you know, that public way of getting a message across, which gives them it's a little bit embarrassing for the executive.
Potentially, but I suppose the executive had also gone public. Once the Northern Ireland office published this deal, the £2 billion deal, Conor Murphy went public with his statement that it was woefully inadequate, that it was an act of bad faith. So, this is the new era, isn't it? A few years ago, we wouldn't have been expecting negotiations to happen over the Twitter. Well, this isn't so much a negotiation as a bit of a slapdown. Yes. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of tone he strikes Julian Smith, because he is due to address MPs later on today on the details of the financial deal. But his predecessors maybe walked on eggshells, in part because, of course, Theresa May was dependent on the DUP, and it was almost like whatever you say, say nothing, in case it either displeases the DUP or indeed displeases one of the other parties. Now, obviously, they feel on the basis of having a majority, having actually got the politicians to go back to Stormont, the Conservatives seem to feel that they've got a bit more of a free hand to, put it just as they see it.
Stay there if you can for a moment or two, Mark. I also have our economics and business editor, John Campbell,
good
in
morning.
Studio. You've not gone soft, John, no? Just
nope.
Checking.
No, I was just thinking it's kind of fitting that Julian Smith took his kids to a trampoline fun park at the weekend, because He's bounced the main parties twice in 6 days.
Oh, John. Did Julian Smith invite our political parties to basically fill the deal with their priorities? Like, fill your boots was kind of the message they were getting, and now reveals that they're, oh, by the way, we don't have enough money for that, and therefore that's the act of bad faith. What do you want?
I think
can't afford it.
Yeah, I think what Colin Murphy is articulating there is really, you know, you told us to jump, to get on with it, to seal the deal, and you would support us with the finance, and you've now come up with less than we would have liked. And I think they also feel it is a bit disrespectful the way the thing was sort of published at about, you know, 6:15 yesterday evening, where Colin Murphy earlier that day had said, my officials are still working on costing this, and we hope to go to the Treasury next week to present a paper and have some detailed discussions. And what they got just was the deal slapped on the table on a take it or leave it basis.
What parts will go to the bottom of the pile now if they have to start paring things off and adjust to fit what's on the table?
Well, I think where we know money will definitely be spent is those immediate pressures, particularly in health. Because if we just break this down, there's £1 billion which would have been coming anyway through what's called the Barnett formula. So that's money, spending decisions are made for the whole of the UK and we get our portion of that. So that money would have been coming anyway. So what we've got here then is £1 billion of additional money. But Conor Murphy says that of that £1 billion, £240 million relates to the last portion of the DUP's confidence and supply deal. So really, if you subtract that DUP money, then you're down to about £750 million. And then there's going to have to be what they describe as a rapid injection of £550 million into the executive finances, including £200 million to solve the nurses' pay dispute immediately and deliver that pay settlement over the next 2 years. So once you've dealt with those immediate pressures of that £550 million, you've burnt through quite a lot of that money already. And then there's talk about £140 million to address Northern Ireland's unique circumstances. And I understand that's a whole... That really refers to funding things like the language commissioners, which are part of the deal, the veterans commissioner, some of the other things like the Northern Ireland centenary. So what you're going to have is this money also spread over a number of years. So I think you'll have a big bunch of money available almost straight away for the pay disputes and also for some of the waiting list work. But then some of the other money might be over 2 or 3 years. So it is not the transformational sum by any means that the executive was looking for, and I think it does make the what is in the deal look that bit more aspirational than it once did. Although I suppose what Julian Smith is also holding out the prospect of is to say there's a budget coming up in a couple of months, perhaps more money will be available at that stage, and there will also have to be, he refers to it, a new deal for Northern Ireland after Brexit, so there may be further sources of money coming in terms of that. Because certainly I think what you can see, what business and the executive will be lobbying for as we get into the Brexit negotiations, is to say the Irish Sea border, which has been imposed on us, will come with costs and we're going to need some money to deal with that as well.
We have, of course, heard over the last couple of days Esmond Burney, the economist, I think he was writing in the Belfast Telegraph, he was putting the figure of what we need at around £5 billion, which is why we started off with that lovely song.
Yeah.
But I guess no matter what way you look at this, it's £750 million more with the Barnett formula in the back of our heads than Scotland or Wales are getting.
Yeah, and I suppose the point which will always be made from the Treasury is to say that Northern Ireland gets more public funding per person than any of the other nations of the UK. So if there's a problem in public services in Northern Ireland, it can't solely be put down to money. It's about how those services are organised and prioritised. And I think that is, again, what Julian Smith will be putting up to the parties, is to say, there is ample money in the system. You need to organise it in a more efficient manner. And there's a phrase which, you know, some of the permanent secretaries, the most senior civil servants, have used, for example, with health, is to say, we have the money to run a world-class health system, but we don't have the money to run the health system that we have, which is basically saying we need to redesign and reorganise this system in a way that makes it more efficient.
Mark, 3 years roughly of discussions on and off, red lines were always held as the key sticking points, you know, marriage equality, Irish language legacy, the demand for more money above and beyond what we already have and what we would have been getting. it doesn't seem to be as loud as those calls for the red lines to be met. Why is it now a problem?
Well, there were always these political red lines, but most settlements have then been accompanied by the parties traipsing off to the Treasury and saying, how much is it worth for us? We had this strange thing that we had a kind of a mirror image of that with the DUP confidence and supply deal, that they were saying, look, how much is it worth? But they obviously had a very big stick to wave over Theresa May at that particular point. What we had, interestingly, is we didn't have a phase where the parties, maybe because they were internally so divided, previously we've had a phase where they've said, right, that's it, we'll restore devolution, but it's dependent on a financial package. And then I can recall one time when the restoration of devolution, when the DUP and Sinn Féin got together, we actually had a phase before they'd restored devolution when they were going off to the Treasury and discussing the financial package that would come with it. It didn't all happen as neatly as that for them. Instead, maybe because there was this pressure of time with this deadline of the 13th of January, that Julian Smith looked like he would be meaning business in relation to possibly calling a future election. And the fact that all the parties were kind of, rather than all sing off the same hymn sheet, were actually looking over their shoulders at each other as to whether one would be the odd one out. They instead all decided to buy the new decade, new approach deal without sorting out that thing. So that was a difference. And I do notice now, one of the strange things is that they aren't all operating as Team Stormont. You know, Conor Murphy's going out there and he's batting for the executive, saying, look, we need extra money, ostensibly then to give to ministers from all sorts of different parties, like Robin Swan from the Ulster Unionists, or Peter Weir from the DUP. And yet you've got some of their colleagues, be it Sammy Wilson or Paul Frew, having a bit of a go at Sinn Féin and how they're managing this. I saw Doug Beattie for the Ulster Unionists basically echoing what the Secretary of State had to say and saying, look, just get on with it, even though it's one of his party colleagues, Robin Swan, that's looking to get the money there. So, you know, old habits are dying hard, yeah, and they're somewhat divided. And maybe the Secretary of State has just discerned that, you know, after 3 years, they're under a massive amount of public pressure to get back, and that ultimately they aren't going to walk away again. They have already done the deal, and ultimately they'll have to take what they're given.
Brian is on the line. He's got a question that maybe John, you'll be able to answer. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
John, I'd just like to ask you, do you see the money that they've done the deal with Theresa May, £1 billion they got?
Yes, the DUP money.
Yes, is that still coming?
What Conor Murphy was saying last night is that there is the final portion of that money is still to come, but the government are counting that towards the overall billion. So most of the DUP money was spent as advertised in the last couple of years. The biggest outstanding portion is about £150 million for improving broadband connectivity, particularly in rural areas, and then also some additional money for mental health in areas of severe deprivation. And that adds up to about £240 million all in. And Conor Murphy's interpretation of what the executive is being offered is that that remaining portion of money will be coming, but it's going to count towards the overall billion extra.
So really what we're actually saying, we're not actually really getting the billion then?
Yeah, that would be Conor Murphy's view. Now, the Northern Ireland office may have a different interpretation on it, but that certainly the view of the finance minister last night was, when you're talking about a billion extra, well, £240 million of that was the remnants of the DUP deal money anyway.
So at the moment, there's only £450 million spent of that £1.5 billion. Could you tell me how much of that is already spent?
I think the DUP deal was worth about £1.5 billion, and there's £240 million odd outstanding. So DUP money, more than a billion was spent or allocated. And, you know, a lot of that was for immediate pressures in health and education. So it got absorbed pretty quickly. And then there was...
So that £240 million will be taken off the billion which we're getting?
That's what the finance minister's view of the situation is.
In my opinion, they were stupid to go back on the storm again.
Do you think, Brian, that they maybe should have secured or been completely aware and across the detail of what that offer was, that financial package, before they got back into power sharing?
Yes, 100%. 100%, because it's not going to last. The whole thing's not going to last. I can't see it lasting. I can't see it going to... At the end of the day, we were promised this and that there. If you look back, if I'm correct in saying, Gregory Campbell was accused of not pulling down Stormont, but walking to the talks because of some letter that they wouldn't agree because they'd never seen it. And because they didn't see the letter, they says, no, we can't agree to yet, and we couldn't agree to do anything, that we're not going to sign up to anything, which we're not going to see up front. What do they do? They go and they signed up to an agreement, which you don't know what money they're getting. And £1 billion wouldn't even turn around full of a hole.
Well, tell that to people in Wales and Scotland who are not getting that extra $750 million. Brian, thank you. 0303 80 55 55. Mark, just before we let you go, what will the cash row now quickly move on to? Why are we paying for commissioners for Ulster Scots, the Irish language translation hub, Casement Park, etc.? Is that where we're heading to next? And will that, as a result, make Stormont, as it is, a little bit more unstable?
Yeah, well, there is the problem, because Julian Smith is saying to the local politicians, look, you've got to prioritise what you go for. Now, our system of government, where they're all involved, it means that it's difficult to make decisions that everybody agrees to, because they've obviously got very different political priorities. So, you know, predictably, we've got Jim Allister already putting out a statement saying that whilst the executive parties have spectacularly bungled these negotiations by failing to nail down the money issues, it would be absurd to squander still scarce resources on vanity projects like needless Irish language infrastructure and enhancement. So, you know, that was predictable, and obviously other politicians will take differing views. Yeah. But you can see that whilst in a sense it's predictable, given that Jim Allister is outside the executive, that he should say something like that, we may well get echoes within the executive when they've got very different views on what is an urgent matter, what should be addressed first, and how much should be devoted to it.
Yeah, and it leads us then to that phrase of collective responsibility, Mark.
Exactly. So they're all meant to pull together, and they've been trying to do that initially. All standing alongside Robin Swan with a health dispute. That was pretty easy enough. The First and Deputy First Ministers are saying, look, can we get some more money? Again, relatively easy, but already the cracks are beginning to show there.
Okay, Mark Devenport and John Campbell, thank you both very much. Again, what do you think at home this morning? Conor Murphy has said that the package that is on offer, and it doesn't look like there's a lot more room for manoeuvre or negotiation within that. He says it makes our jobs much more difficult. 0303 80 55 55. Willie, next. Good morning to you, Willie.
Good morning.
What do you reckon?
Funny, to be honest with you, I think they walked in. When they agreed at the start, they walked in without getting the amount of money that's going on. That's all right, but in good faith, and agreeing in good faith, is okay. But once a government tells you it, and they know in their heart and soul that once they get in there, that they're going to shaft them. My attitude is, they don't expect them to walk out again. I would turn and walk out again.
Is that what you want your politicians to do, Willie?
I want my politician to turn and walk back out that door and say, hold on a minute, we agreed something. If we can't start off truthful, how do you expect us to sit and get on together?
And where does that leave us, Willie? Where do you go from there? Remember, one of the things that they were trying to get back in to be able to rectify were, you know, that the health strikes, for example, the issues that the nurses say are really key, that safe staffing, pay parity.
That was all going on 3 years. I can understand that. But if you don't get it right at the start, it's never going to work. And we're starting off with a lie. We've actually started off with a lie because the British government walked in there.
There's no lie because there was no amount confirmed. So maybe they presumed, maybe they were given the impression that they were going to get more than they did, but there was no figure given over. That's part of the reason that they are where they are. That exact amount wasn't given until they were back in, the executive was back up and running, and the new ministers had all been picked.
Well, if you look at what they've wrote on, and the 64-page deal that they've wrote on, if you look at all the things they do adding up, that wasn't going to add up to £1 billion. £1 billion was never, ever going to cover what they have in them to 62 pages or 64.
What do you think it would do in terms of the relationship between Stormont and Westminster if they did turn around and walk out and say, right, that's it? You know, more negotiations, but what would that do? But what would that do for the trust between Stormont and Westminster? You know, why would they trust them to go back in and sustain a government in the future if they're going to walk out after a matter of days?
And they walked out of something they didn't get. They were told exactly what was going to be put through, and there's nowhere, the money's nowhere going to cover that. Nowhere. Not a chance. As your man said, there's £5 billion they reckon they need to cover what they're doing alone. So £1 billion alone to cover the back health, to cover all the operations and appointments and must. It's going to be £1 billion alone for that. So how in under God is it? I would walk out the door and say, you agreed, you sat down, you told us this is going to happen. No, it doesn't happen.
But they never put a figure on it. Yeah, I get the point you're making, Willie, but again, they didn't put a figure on it, and they agreed and went back in on the presumption of what they thought they were going to get. Willie, thank you, George. Next morning, George.
Good morning, Vinny. You know, I'm sure many of your listeners will be finding it nauseating to listen to those complaining now about an agreement that was supposed to be watertight. Isn't it amazing that Conor Murphy and his colleagues were articulating the desire to have an Irish language and all the funding that would have to come with that? That was his priority and their priority. And now we have them fighting less than a week into this so-called New Deal, new agreement. It's amazing. Last night I sat and watched the news coming from England, and the waiting lists that are there and the nurses that are there trying to do the best they possibly can.
Yes.
We are delighted to see the nurses here get priority. All we should be asking for in Northern Ireland, and I speak as one who's on a waiting list, is equal treatment.
Yeah.
We are getting more than our share, it would appear, from statistics. And I am no financial analyst, but all I would say to the people of Northern Ireland is, doesn't it show the weakness of those who have been negotiating? And now we have them appointing spads at endless money. We have all the excesses and expenses. We have the MLAs who for 3 years didn't find it embarrassing to lift their money
Who put, George, those MLAs and MPs where they are?
Well,
can
I just say I did not? I have to put my hands
yes,
up.
Yes, but in terms of democracy and how when you go and cast your vote...
But the greater number of people, Vinny, with respect, when they voted, did not anticipate that they would be giving a green light for 3 years for those MLAs to lift that money and their expenses and to do what they've had, so many jollies. It is about time we got real in Northern Ireland. All we want as an integral part of the United Kingdom is equality, no less and no more. And I'm sitting on a waiting list and I'm not complaining. The health service have been marvellous. The nurses need their pay. They deserve their pay. Education's on its knees. And then we have the Ulster Scots and the Irish language.
What do you need for all of that, George?
There is no money for luxuries. We need to deal with priorities.
Okay, George, thank you. Stephen, next good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Two quick points. First of all, I don't know why any of the political parties are surprised that they're getting done over by the British government. I don't know where Sinn Féin's thrust of the British government has came, and I don't know where DUP's.
Well, look what happened only a matter of weeks ago in terms of the relationship between the DUP and Boris Johnson. But yet, you know, the negotiations happened. We are where we are. Do you think they were wrong to go in without having that final figure on the table?
I wouldn't say they're wrong to go in. They were elected to go in. Your previous caller actually made the point that they were elected and nobody expected them to sit out for 3 years. I remember the run-up to that election, and I think everyone was expecting it to be 2, 3, 4, potentially 5 years before it would be back. I remember the coverage on the Nolan Show. People are voting for these people to do what they're doing. They're incompetent. If you look at the amount of money that they're getting compared to the rest of the UK, they get more than anyone else, and they seem to be the least efficient with delivering the services that they're put there to deliver.
Okay.